VanWee Financial is a registered investment advisor. Information presented is for educational purposes only and does not intend to make an offer or solicitation for the sale or purchase of any specific securities, investments, or investment strategies. Investments involve risk and, unless otherwise stated, are not guaranteed. Be sure to first consult with a qualified financial advisor and or tax professional before implementing any strategy discussed herein.
It's Saturday morning. It's 10 o'clock. This is the VanWee Financial Hour. I'm Steve VanWee.
And I'm Adam VanWee.
And joining us today from a secure location off premises, we have...
Stan the Annuity Man.
Yes, this man who has a mysterious job linked directly to his name is joining us for this show. And we are going to peel back some of the layers of misunderstanding on the whole annuity business. I'll tell you a little bit more about him after we get through the segment with the market wrap. But we appreciate Stan being here. We've been friends for a long, long time. People might look at us and say, you're direct competitors. I look at us and say, he complements our business perfectly for many reasons. Not the least of which is that he is an honest annuity guy, and they're like the unicorn. More on that later. Anyway, but welcome to all the regulars. Thanks for always being here. You know, we're in our home office again today, and we'll do our best to keep things timed well and as error-free as humanly possible. We're all in this together, as everybody says, and they are exactly right. So when it will end, I'm not sure, but we will be here live, as we always are. That's our promise to you. Lines are open, 904-222-TALK. That's 904-222-8255. And callers, as always, will go directly to the head of the line. And feel free today, you are not charging it for this, any annuity question that you've ever wondered, we got the answer man on the other line. Well, welcome to the show that's not afraid to ask the really difficult questions like, will the last person off the oil rig please turn out the light?
Yeah, it was a crazy, crazy week in the oil market. And for the first time, I believe, in history, oil futures contracts had negative value. This meant that basically they ran out of room to store oil, and so they were paying other people to take it off their hands so they didn't have to take delivery because they couldn't physically take delivery of oil. This just caused massive chaos in the oil market as well as in the stock market on Monday and Tuesday. If we outside of Monday and Tuesday, we had a pretty nice week, but unfortunately, the Monday and Tuesday were down more than the rest of the week was up. So we lost about a little over 1% on the S&P and close to 2% on the Dow. The Nasdaq was essentially flat. So it wasn't a terrible week considering some of the weeks we've seen in the last 2 months, but still not a great week. There were some bright spots, however. The mid-cap stocks actually had small gains this week, and the communication services sector was also positive. Stock markets in India, Japan, and Russia all gained this week, as did gold and silver. For the week, oil ended up down a pretty astonishing 39%, which brings it to almost 80% down this year. I don't think that can last, but it really depends on how quickly we turn the economy back on, or rather the world turns their economy back on, because right now nobody's using any oil. The fixed income market was also up this week. Long-term treasuries and TIPS were both up more than 1%. And in a strange turn of events, the least volatile stock market in the world right now is in China. And the U.S. is actually the most volatile stock market in the world. So who would have seen that coming, considering that China was the epicenter of this crazy virus? Earnings season, really underway now, had more than 200 companies that have reported. Numbers are not great, not really surprising, although we had drastically lowered expectations heading into this season. Even with that, only 52% of companies beat on earnings so far. Well, the revenue numbers look a bit better at 61%. Stocks that have reported are actually trading higher on these not-so-great earnings, though. So investors are kind of ignoring poor results. I said this last week, but I don't want to say it doesn't matter, but it matters less this season than what we do going forward. So whether or not a company beats their earnings target this quarter is not what I think most investors are looking at. They're looking at how are they positioning themselves to make money going forward. And I think that's why we're seeing the reaction that we've seen so far. In other news, an additional $427 billion was approved for small business bailouts this week. Some of that will go to fund the PPP program, and some of it is designated for hospitals that are losing money because they can't treat anyone who doesn't have coronavirus, which is starting to open back up slowly, but we're not really massive openings of hospitals yet, but I think that we're not far away from that, considering that we never really did go over the peak demand that was projected by a lot of the models. The bearish sentiment was one thing that was up this week. It topped 50% for the first time since March. Now only 24% of investors are bullish. And because that is, the bearish sentiment is twice the bullish sentiment, that's actually a pretty positive sign for the market. So don't be surprised if you see a little bit of upward action next week. Pretty much all of the economic data this week was either bad or downright terrible, and that was expected. Existing home sales slowed last month, as did new home sales. Jobless claims actually dropped by about 800,000, but still managed to come in at 4.2 million. Less than last week, but still one of the largest numbers on record. And next week, we get our first quarter one GDP reading, which should be really interesting.
That'll be a joke.
Heading into this quarter, we were supposed to show growth, but now it's projected to show a decline of 3.8%. Ouch.
Yeah.
So it's going to be another interesting week and an interesting quarter to top that. And so much is going to hinge on what we do going forward, how we start to open up. We're seeing Georgia sort of lead the way in this, and of course catching a tremendous amount of media backlash against it, but we'll have to see how they do. I think that'll be sort of a model for the rest of the country.
He just put his political reputation on the line.
Kemp, you mean?
Yeah,
for sure. Also, I had a really interesting thing I saw this week, and this is sort of directed towards Stan. I saw that there's an annuity company out there offering two free N95 masks if you come and get a quote from them, and I was wondering if he was offering the same deal.
Is that like the newest version of an upfront bonus?
Yes. I'm not kidding. I actually saw an ad. Yeah.
Let's nothing take it and send it to an annuity customer instead of putting it on a medical professional who's serving the people who have it, right?
Maybe it's because the annuity actually stinks and they don't want them to actually. maybe it's literal. I mean,
people
who knows?
I warned you. And you ain't heard nothing yet, as they say.
Oh, gosh.
You're going to love the rest of this program.
The annuity industry has earned its bad reputation. Let's just leave it at that.
Exactly right. Anyway, any good news, Adam, for the investors?
The good news is that both Wednesday and Friday were pretty good days in the market. We gave back some gains that we saw initially on Thursday, but we still ended up flat. So the market was really up towards the end of the week, and I like that going into the weekend.
Yeah. Well, I had one little disappointment this week. I pulled into the gas pump and filled up the tank, and I put in the American Express card, and I thoroughly expected to get a credit back on it.
Didn't work that way.
No, they charged me anyway. That was bad. All right, we're going to take a little break here in a few seconds, and when we come back, we will have the trivia question as usual, and we'll get into the weeds about annuities with Stan the Annuity Man. The trivia question is related to the annuity business, but more so it's related to the role of annuities in the average investor's life, and that's very important. All right, don't go anywhere. We'll be right back. This is the Vanley Financial Hour. Welcome back to the Vanley Financial Hour. I'm Steve Vanley.
And I'm Adam Vanley.
And joining us on another line,
Stan Z, Annuity Man.
Yes, and this is called Annuity College with Professor Stan Day.
Exactly.
All right, we have a trivia question, as usual, brought to you by Ken Bales at First Coast Alarm. You can call Ken at 904-636-7888. What percentage decline in purchasing power, easy for me to say, has the Social Security cost of living adjustment experienced
over the last decade. In other words, for those of you who have been on Social Security for 10 years, how much purchasing power has your benefit lost? And it's not a pretty sight, folks. Not at all. All right, annuities 101. First off, let me tell you a little bit about Stan. He is truly an American original. He used to be on the investment side of the equation and drifted over to the annuity side. I'm going to let him say this, but I know exactly why, because he couldn't stand what he saw going on. He is a star of financial media all over, sells in 50 states. He calls himself, and I have no reason to doubt this, the largest purveyor of annuities, fixed annuities, is it, Stan?
Correct.
In the country. And he is a character. He has written a whole series of books. I have read every single one of them cover to cover. So I wanted to understand as much as possible about the whole concept of the annuity. We have many sayings in our business. He has many sayings as his. I love the ones that go like this. All sizzle and no steak. Bad chicken dinners, that's how they're sold. That sort of thing. So that said, why do so many people buy annuities, Stan?
Well, annuities do have their place. I mean, they were put on the planet in the Roman times as a pension lifetime income stream gift for the dutiful Roman soldiers and their families. The Latin word annua means payment, which is the origin of the word annuity. They are put on the planet for lifetime income. They are the only product on the planet that can provide a lifetime income stream. They have a monopoly. Somehow the annuity industry hasn't pounded that into the table. What's typically sold at the bad chicken dinner seminars, and by the way, one positive thing about the coronavirus is there might not ever be another bad chicken dinner.
You know, the optimist in you comes out.
That's fantastic. Because at the bad chicken dinner seminar and in the Jacksonville area is proliferated with all of them. I mean, there's so many you could eat 4 days a week. My mom does in St. Augustine, Florida. But they're pitching indexed annuities, or they're pitching possibly variable annuities, but most of the time it's indexed annuities, and it's a too good to be true. People are buying the dream, and they're owning the contractual realities. Now, we are in a demographic tidal wave of 10,000 baby boomers reaching retirement age every single day, and those people are looking for contractual guarantees. That's where annuities fit in. They're issued by life insurance companies. They're contractual guarantees, and they primarily solve for four things. The acronym is PIL. P stands for principal protection. I stands for income for life. L stands for legacy, and the other is for long-term care. Do not ever buy an annuity for market growth. I know that the agent's going to tell you they can get that market upside with no downside and all this stuff. It's garbage.
Always forward, never back.
Yeah, market growth should have no limitations. Every single annuity product that pitches market growth has severe limitations. Buy it for the contractual guarantee, what it will do, not what it might do.
All right, you mentioned equity index annuities. These are the bane of man's existence if you are somebody like us,
mm-hmm.
and it's for that reason. Can you briefly explain what that means?
Sure. In 1995, equity index annuities, fixed index annuities, were put on the planet to compete with CD returns, and historically, in a raging bull market, that's exactly the returns they produced. I don't care what anyone has shown you, hypothetical, theoretical, back-tested, projected, hopeful, unicorn chasing the butterfly returns, you're going to get CD-type returns. That's not bad. That's just not how it sold. It sold as market upside with no downside. If you'd have owned it, you know, 10 years ago, this is what you would have made. Complete garbage. Never buy that. Indexed annuities do have their place as a delivery system for a future income stream using an income rider, but that has to be fully explained. But I know the calls that you and Adam get. Hey, I was at this, you know, this guy showed me this product. I can get market returns and protect the principal. We can get an upfront bonus. We get free long-term care. The only part of that was true was protect the principal.
Hmm.
That was the only part.
And how do they get away with this?
It's
why
the Wild
don't they
Wild
have
West.
To divulge more? You know what compliance is like on our side of the fence because you've been there.
Well, here's the answer. To sell an indexed annuity, you have to score a 70 on a state life insurance test, which you could take in a week, which means you could take the crash course on a Monday, pass the test on a Friday, give a bad chicken dinner seminar on a Saturday, and take someone's hard-earned lifetime retirement money and put it in an indexed annuity on a Monday. Somehow that makes no sense to me. The bar to sell indexed annuities is very low. indexed annuities are not a security. It's a life insurance product that's regulated at the state level. And because it's regulated at the state level, it's the Wild Wild West. You can literally get away with saying anything you want. And if you've ever wondered where, you know, the old timeshare salesman went, you know, no, nothing against them, they're selling indexed annuities.
I love it. There has been talk in the 20 years I've spent in this business, there's been talk on and off about regulating the index annuities as securities. It never goes anywhere. Is that because it shouldn't, or is that because the lobby groups are so strong?
I call the insurance lobby the NRA without the guns, because they don't need the guns because they have money. It's never, ever going to be deemed a security. They're never going to disrupt the distribution channel, they meaning the annuity industry and the annuity lobby. It's never going to happen. They tried twice. It's failed twice. I don't think they're going to go back the third time. I really don't have a good answer for you. And I have, you know, index annuities, it fully explained that they're a CD product. They do have a place. I'm not saying they're all horrible, but what is horrible is how they're sold. And they're sold one size fits all. If you had a sprained ankle, a sore throat, or if you need income or whatever, they're going to pitch you an index annuity. How can you have a bad chicken dinner seminar with 100 people in there and you recommend the same product? How is that even possible from a fiduciary standpoint?
That's a good point. From my vantage point, this may sound a little selfish, but it's always seemed unfair that these people can make those lavish promises to people that we would like to see in our practice, and many of them will agree with it, and then I have to be the one to debunk that, which sounds really like sour grapes to me. It's always been an uncomfortable situation.
The only protection that the annuity consumer has is to create their own, what I call a statement of understanding, and all that is when the person pitches you the product and it sounds too good to be true, you write down everything that person says in detail, sign the bottom of the page and date it and flip it around and have that person sign and date it. That will flush out the truth, period. The other thing that's good about the annuity industry, one of the things, is you have a free look time period. If you get high pressured into a sale, you can always get your money back within that free look time period, which is a good thing. But, you know, once again, people buy because of fear and greed, and you know that. And the indexed annuity pitch is a fear and greed pitch. I think it's unfortunate. I think the products that really provide value to consumers are the single premium immediate annuities, deferred income annuities, qualified longevity annuity contracts. I mean, people say, what do you really like? I like those. There's no annual fees. There's no moving parts. You know, it's a straight transfer of risk. They're great products, and that's how I have made it out here and the number one agent in the country, because I only look at the contractual guarantees. We're only going to buy Armageddon. We're only going to look at worst-case scenario. We're only going to buy what the will-do of that product.
That some of those individual things, the fixed variable, QLACs, all that, I'll get into after the next break. But for those who don't know, the QLAC, the Qualified Longevity Annuity Contract, is a way that avoids you having to take RMDs out of a retirement account for a period of time to get older. How are sales on that product going to be in this year of no RMD?
That's a good question. I truly believe QLAC should be the number one selling annuity on the planet. The reason that it's not is because it pays a very low commission to agents. And let's get to commissions. All annuity commissions are built into the product. The agent, the consumer never sees it. I don't like that. But a very easy fix to the annuity industry would be to make every single annuity type out there have the same commission paid. It'd be low. So in other words, every single product, whether it's a QLAC or index annuity or variable annuity or deferred income annuity, would pay the exact same commission. The reason that that would work is then agents would be forced, hopefully, to recommend the product that fits the situation, not putting a square peg into a round hole just for a commission.
Okay, Stan and I had a little phone conversation before the show started, and I asked him why something that I read this week was true, and he came up with a great answer, and it has to do with the difference between fixed and variable. We don't have time to get into that between now and the break, but when we come back, the first thing I want to start on is an explanation of the difference between a fixed annuity and a variable annuity and what they're good for, and that it's not going to make sense to you when you
when you hear on the street that the variables are doing well, because we're in a period of time where people are petrified, and I would react only by looking at something fixed with an absolute guarantee, and yet the variables are going nuts, and Stan has an explanation for that that I don't think I ever would have come up with. So the lines are still open, 225-222-TALK-904. I'm going to take a short break, and we'll be back with Stan the Annuity Man and all of your questions. Trivia questions still open. We'll take care of all of that. So be ready, and anybody out there who wants to know anything about an annuity, anything at all, Stan can answer it. He's written all the books. All right, we're going to take a short break, pay some bills. We'll be right back. This is the Van Wee Financial Hour. Welcome back to the Van Wee Financial Hour. I'm Steve Van Wee.
And I'm Adam Van Wee.
And we are joined today by
Stan the Annuity Man.
All right, and we do have a caller on the line. We'll take immediately after I reintroduce the trivia question. Over the last 10 years, how much purchasing power has your Social Security benefit lost? That's never a good question to have to ask. All right, on the line we have George. Hey, George, what's happening?
Good morning. I can hardly hear you. Are you still on here?
Yes.
Oh, okay. A couple of questions. With the amount of money that's being printed, no doubt we're going to have big inflation. What kind of investments are appropriate now to take advantage of that happening and preparing for this inflation?
Well, in my opinion, there are several categories of things that love inflation. One of them is real estate. Another one is the stock market itself, because it's based on numbers, and as inflation comes in, the real dollar profits might go nowhere, but the nominal dollar profits go up, and that pushes the price up. And a lot of people believe that precious metals for a season of inflation are the way to go. They've been defying gravity lately, but I don't know how long it'll last. But those are the type things that I'm aware of. Adam, you got any good ones?
I mean, you hit on the big ones, but the problem with that is that, especially the real estate, is that there's not a lot of demand. Right now, the demand is way, way down because people aren't working and just are fearful and uncertain about what's happening with the future. So it's not something I would rush into today, but at some point, I feel that that would be an appropriate investment.
Stan, you got any concepts for your industry with an impending inflation?
There's not an annuity on the planet that can adjust accordingly for inflation. Annuity companies don't give that away. They have the big buildings for a reason. I just beg everyone not to ask that question to an annuity agent, because they'll try to sell you something. Inflation is something you have to do outside the annuity world.
Okay, that makes perfectly good sense to me. But those are some of the things. If you're going to really buy real estate intelligently, you wait until some of this is over and hope. It isn't happening too fast yet.
Right.
You hope the prices get pushed down.
If you're an investor, if you're an owner, you don't.
If you're an owner,
you're
fine. Yeah. But I'm a big fan of buying low and selling high. The real question to me, when is all this going to happen?
That's a good question.
All right, I got a question for Stan.
At the economy this year, but it's not going anywhere. The velocity is zero so far. You give it to people and they pay their landlord, and they were going to do that anyway.
Yeah.
And the landlord is probably paying whatever.
Mortgage.
Yeah, so what you're not getting is the incremental economics of having money turnover. In economics, it's called the velocity of money. And it's generally in good times, something like 2.5. So if I get an extra $100, I'll go out and spend it various places. People spend that. And by the time that money gets really absorbed into society, it's worth about $250. Well, when government does it, that's been shown over time to be closer to $150. So the bigger government gets, the more it sucks out of the consumer economy, and it actually slows the pace of the dollar's velocity, postponing inflation. But I don't want to ever say that it is not an inflationary thing that we're doing, because it just flat out is. But you're exactly right. George, did you have another question?
Yeah, for Stan, I have a variable annuity I've had for years that has done very well. It's a Vanguard annuity. Do you have any downside on Vanguard?
Well, Vanguard's not in the annuity business anymore. They got out of the annuity business completely last year. The annuity that you have, they're going to honor that and service that, but they no longer even offer annuities at Vanguard, which is unbelievable. Variable annuities are fine. What you purchase is a no-load variable annuity, and if someone said, what type of annuity would I, what type of variable annuity would you sign off on, Stan? It would be a no-load variable annuity, which means that it's 100% liquid, the fees are minuscule, from what you're doing is tax deferring. And variable annuities were put on the planet in 1955 for tax deferred growth, and that's how they should be used. I think you bought the right one. The question is, you know, what are you going to do with it? What's the goal of the asset? If the goal of the asset is still tax deferred growth, choosing the mutual funds, then you stay there. If it changes, then you can always transfer it to another type of annuity to achieve another type of contractual goal.
Mm-hmm. But you think I ought to just stick with the way it is right now?
Again, what do you want the money to do? Sticking with it means that you have a goal for that asset. What's the goal for the asset?
Just growth to leave to my kids.
Okay, then I'd stay right there and just really manage the choices of the mutual funds. They call them separate accounts, but me and you call them mutual funds. Just manage the choices of those mutual funds internally.
Right, that's what I have been doing. Mm-hmm. We've done very well doing that.
Yep, good.
Okay, thank you very much.
Take a shot at our trivia question. How much purchasing power has been lost in Social Security over 10 years?
Well, I don't know. Is he still with us? I think he's
exited. Okay. Well, I got to repeat the trivia question. All right. That was a perfect lead-in. You were talking there about variable annuities, and they're hot right now. And what's the difference between a fixed annuity and a variable annuity, and why would variables be selling in a time of fear?
Well, first of all, there's many types of fixed annuities. There's actually, I think there's five. Single premium immediate annuities, deferred income annuities, QLACs, multi-year guarantee annuities, and then the fixed index annuities. Those are all considered fixed annuities issued at the state level, issued by life insurance companies, regulated at the state level. Variable annuities are securities. So someone that's trying to sell you that has to have a securities license to sell you that, because it's regulated and overseen by FINRA and the SEC. The difference between the two is a fixed annuity is a contract, period. It's going to protect the principal, whereas a variable annuity, you're investing in mutual funds internally. And like I told the caller, they were put on the planet in 1955 for tax-deferred growth. And in the no-load versions, and there are some good no-load variable annuities out there that people like Stephen Adam can actually manage for you, and they're fantastic because you can get taxed for growth in a non-IRA setting. But the problem with variable annuities is that the majority of them have an annual fee that ranges anywhere from 2 to 4% annually for the life of the policy. So the reason they're selling them now is they're selling, you can have your cake and eat it too, but I need the callers to know that can never happen. But here's the cake part that they're selling. They're saying, hey, we have this 5 or 6 or 7% guarantee that, you know, and let me stop, there's nobody in the annuity industry has figured out how to take a 1% treasury and turn it into 6% yield. Jimmy Carter is not here, okay? What that is a phantom account monopoly money that can only be used to calculate your first income payment. So what they're saying is you get this mutual fund choice, but you're also getting 5%. That's incorrect. Two separate calculations, and one of them is not real money.
And yet they get away with that for the reasons we were talking about before.
Well, they give most agents and advisors either don't know what they're selling, or they're given a 30,000-foot view of what they're selling. And you're buying a contract. You know, always, if you don't understand it, ask the agent or advisor to send you a specimen policy and read it. And if they hedge on that, then they're not your advisor. Bottom line. So just be careful out there. If it sounds too good to be true with annuities, it is every single time without exception. You're buying a contract, so you better understand those contractual guarantees.
Okay, we all know, especially lately, how volatile stocks, bonds, mutual funds, and ETFs can be.
Mm-hmm.
the VA has its own mutual funds inside it.
Mm-hmm.
This is a time of fear. Why would you buy a variable when you're scared to death of the market?
Because you have an attached guarantee that let's. I'll cover that on the back. I hear the money.
Yeah,
hit,
sorry,
but
we got a full minute.
The bottom line is, you can always turn on an income stream to bail yourself out, but that's not a reason to do it. How about that?
That's a very good way. As we go into this next break, when we come back, I'm going to light the fire. Understand? Because I'm going to use the H word, and anybody out there who is even thinking that they need to know more about long-term care and insurance, therefore, and all of that, and you are going to find out some things you didn't know that people are pitched on a daily basis. Now, we're also going to come up with at least some tentative solutions. So this is not going to be just a complete stick it in somebody's nose discussion. So stick around for it. You'll like it. We'll drift in from the VAs to the topic at hand. Don't go anywhere. We'll pay a few bills. Be right back to the Van Lee Financial Hour. Welcome back to the Van Lee Financial Hour. I'm Steve Van Lee.
And I'm Adam Van Lee.
And joining us today,
Stan the Annuity Man.
This segment is brought to you by Robinson Landscape and Maintenance. You can call Troy at 662-9794. And they have a very essential business, in my humble opinion. So they're open and taking calls. All right, trivia question briefly. What percentage of our purchasing power from Social Security benefits has been lost over 10 years? It's a pretty healthy percentage, people. All right, I'm going to get Stan right where his funny bone is here. How about a hybrid annuity? I'm talking about people who either can't afford a long-term care product, a true one, or don't fit the underwriting perhaps for it, and they want to do something to protect themselves for long-term care medical expenses, and the annuity companies have come to their rescue with hybrid long-term care policies. Right, Stan?
First of all, hybrid's a plant, hybrid's a car. I even saw the other day hybrid's a mattress. But hybrid is not an annuity. Hybrid is a word used by annuity agents to overhype things. Hybrid means there's multiple benefits. Every single annuity type has multiple benefits, so if we're going to call one a hybrid, we can call them all. So don't get me started. Now, what's out there with, you know, the guarantee when you're at the Bad Chicken Dinner seminar and the person says, yeah, you get free long-term care, that's not true. Long-term care is a health insurance product. It's still the best coverage on the planet. I don't sell it, but it's still the best coverage. But if you can't qualify for that, annuity companies do have offerings that's guaranteed issue. And because it's guaranteed issue, it's not as good as traditional long-term care because that's an underwritten product. But in essence, what they're going to do is when you either go into – there's two types. There's confinement care riders and there's enhanced benefit riders. Both of them increase the guaranteed income stream on that income rider attachment, but only when you qualify. But just look at it like this, and here's the Southern saying to remember. When you get sicker, you get your money back quicker. That's all these are. All they're doing is ramping up the payment back of your own money because all annuity payments are a combination of return of principal plus interest, and typically these free long-term care things you're hearing is not long-term care, it's confinement care or enhanced benefits. When you can't do two of the six daily functions of life, or if you're in a confinement care facility for a specific time, the annuity companies are going to pay you more. Why? Because you've proven to them that your life expectancy is less. That's all this is, and you're getting your money back quicker when you get sicker. If the planets were perfect and the world was wonderful and the Republicans got along with the Democrats, these would only be used as secondary coverage, not primary coverage. Never, ever allow an annuity agent to convince you to get rid of your long-term care policy to buy one of these.
Right, and you and I have talked in years past, recent years, about life insurance products that are doing the same thing, offering the accelerated payments. And at least in one point, you thought perhaps some of these things were superior to the annuity-based. You still feel that way?
Yeah. Well, once again, I mean, any life insurance is the best return on investment you will ever see because you're going to be dead, okay? It is fantastic. It's the only true legacy product out there because it passes that lump sum to the beneficiaries tax free. Okay, but now, you know, annuity companies have the big buildings for a reason. They try to attach benefits, etc. In some cases, long-term care coverage within a life insurance policy might work, but once again, it's you got to go through the underwriting process for life insurance. But any time that life insurance products come out of their lane or annuity products come out of their lane, I kind of question it a little bit, in my opinion. I'm not saying they're all bad, but it's not too good to be true, especially on the life insurance side where they talk about tax-free income. That's not tax-free income. That's called a loan. But, you know, it's kind of like using the phrase hybrid. It's to sell things. Tax-free income is to sell things. There is no tax-free income. The IRS is not going to allow that, period.
Hmm.
Unless you buy a muni bond, right?
Yeah, exactly. And even that, they get you back in computing your modified
right.
adjusted gross income. So there are cases where those payments you get on muni bonds are actually going to be taxable disguised as something else. But that's
I think if people would just look at annuities and life insurance, because, you know, they're issued by the same person,
right.
the life insurance company, you use as little amount of money as possible to achieve the contractual goal needed. Period. So with life insurance, you're going to find the best, the highest death benefit for the least amount of money. That's life insurance. For annuities, like for annuity for income, you're going to solve for the specific monthly amount that you want to come in for the rest of your life, and we're going to quote all carriers to find that company that's going to require the least amount of money to back up that guarantee. The biggest mistake I see people making with annuities, and the annuity guys are going to frown on me for saying this, but they're putting too much money in.
They don't like you anyway. I'm sorry to
exactly.
break it to you.
Exactly.
Stan and I have done many, many of these things over the years, and our goals are exactly the same. Every person, every client, every prospective client of either or both of us has one singular problem, and it all boils down to the two things that people fear more than death. One of them is running out of money.
Mm-hmm.
So you cannot possibly allow yourself not to have an income stream that's plentiful that goes to the end of your life. Enter the annuity business, right?
Well, and I always tell people, if you have a Social Security number, you own an annuity.
Exactly.
I love people that when I'm speaking nationally, they say, well, I hate all annuities, Stan. They're all expensive. I hate them. Number one, that's crazy. But
right.
I'm just like, you already own one. And you own the best inflation annuity on the planet. And they're like, no, I would never buy one. No, you already have it. It's called Social Security. And if you have a pension, you own another one. That's an annuity. Annuities are for lifetime income. They solve for longevity risk, like you're saying, which is the fear of outliving your money. And you don't know what the ROI is until you die, ROI, return on investment. Up until that point, it's a pure transfer risk. If you don't see value in that, then you should never buy an annuity. And really, buying annuities comes down to two questions. What do you want the money to contractually do, and when do you want those contractual guarantees to start? Underline and bold contractual. And
all right,
those
I'm going
two
to,
answers, that's it.
Okay, I'm going to, of necessity, break into our trivia question because it's directly related to what I want to do before the hour is up. The loss of purchasing power over a decade in Social Security, despite having COLAs, cost of living increases, is 18%.
How about
so
that?
So today's payment buys 18% less than the payment you got 10 years ago today. Now, that is a problem when I look at the world of fixed annuities. So
mm-hmm.
I use a classic example, like my sister who retired. She was $1,000 a month short of her income goal. She bought
mm-hmm.
a single premium immediate annuity on herself that paid $1,000 a month. Boom, problem solved. She didn't live long. What if you live to be 90? How do you take care of that today for an life expectancy of 20 or 30 more years?
There's no good, as I say in the annuity world, there's no perfect answers, just bad sales pitches. With annuities, you can attach what's called a cost of living adjustment increase, which means you choose the percentage that the income is going to increase for the rest of your life. It sounds fantastic. But remember, annuity companies have the big buildings for a reason, so they're going to significantly lower that payment to make up for that cost of living adjustment rider when you compare it to the same exact annuity without that cost of living adjustment rider. So typically we see a 7 to 9 year break-even point when you attach a COLA. So once again, annuities, they try to solve for inflation, but there's no perfect answer.
You came up with something many years ago, and it didn't pop into my mind until you were talking just now. You came up with a concept that I really liked, and I believe you referred to it as laddered annuities.
And laddering, that's the only way to do it. That's the only way to address inflation, which is you can have income starting at future time periods. Let me give you an example. Let's just say you have $300,000 and you want to make sure you have income stream coming in your 65. You could buy three annuities at the same time for lifetime income, have one start at age 70, have one start at age 75, have one start at age 80. That's the only way to address inflation using an annuity, meaning laddering the start date of that annuity payment. And you can ladder a myriad of ways. You can ladder the purchase. You can ladder the start date. You can ladder both. But if you contact us at theannuityman.com, we'll put together that customized plan for you.
That was the last thing I wanted to get in. Anybody who has heard things that they like today from Stan, tell us again how to get a hold of you.
Go to theannuityman.com, theannuityman.com. I'll send you my books for free if you sign up. And I'm doing I have a YouTube channel. I have a YouTube video coming out every single day. I write for The Street every single day. I have a podcast every single week. I'm putting out information out there to educate you so you can make an informed decision on your terms and your time frame.
Excellent. Well, thank you so much. I know this is one of the toughest topics in financial planning. It helps us a lot knowing you. I'm sure it helps the people who are listening. And I hope to come back because I got another list as long as this one easily. All right, everybody. Thanks again to everybody. We'll see you next week, same time, probably from the same place. This is